Today in the European Union, in Brussels, EU energy ministers will attempt to forge a united response to the energy shock from Russia's war in Ukraine that sent prices for electricity and heating skyrocketing. The invasion has seen the price of natural gas hit record levels, throwing the EU economy into deep uncertainty, with all eyes on whether Russian President Vladimir Putin will cut off energy flow entirely. Effectively, he has at the moment, with the Nord Stream 1 pipeline being closed down for the last number of days. Before the war, 40% of the EU's gas imports came from Russia, with most of the supply going to Germany, but the EU is now scrambling to come up with new ways to heat homes and to power factories. We've had lots of discussion of renewable energy, wind farms, but onshore and offshore solar panels, all of these things in the mix now, people scrambling to try and find solutions and try and deal with the huge cost of living increases that all that has brought about. So where are the new technologies, and what place does green hydrogen or hydrogen play in all of that? With me on the line, we've Mark Hanley from Emerald Hydrogen. Mark, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Gerry, and thanks a million for having me on the show.
Tell me about your company, first of all.
Well, my company is based, we've been researching the hydrogen since 2016, as first of all, as a source of, I suppose, backup or energy storage. And the idea really is that I have, as a company, what we do is we match companies with each other to have synergies in the development of the green hydrogen economy. So a company that would, for example, like electrolyzer companies, would be neatly matched with possibly wind farms. And the electrolyzer then will produce green hydrogen, have to meet with the storage. So basically I'd be matching companies with each other. And what I would then do is set up meetings and get them to have a synergy in the development of a project together.
Okay.
So that's the simplistic of it.
Sure, sure. What is green hydrogen, and how would it help in our energy security, or bringing down the cost, or helping the environment, that whole mix?
Okay. Well, first of all, most of the hydrogen that's produced today, like we have these different colours, and most 95% of hydrogen that's produced today is produced from, it's called grey hydrogen. It's basically from taking fossil fuels, and with the fossil fuels, what happens then is they are heated to such a level that hydrogen is taken from it, but unfortunately, carbon is released. On the other side of things, then you have blue hydrogen, where it's the same process, but what happens is the carbon is captured. But the green hydrogen, which is what we all want and most interested in, is the hydrogen that's produced from a renewable source. That simply means if you look at solar, if you look at wind farms, if you look at tidal wave power, that what they do is their energy is used to electrolyze water, which separates the hydrogen from the oxygen, and we capture the hydrogen. That's the green hydrogen, and that's totally renewable. Now, the applications of it are very, very broad-ranging. So you would have the likes of most of what we talk about hydrogen is used for, in a lot of cases, it's used in large industries, like the gas industry. Gas industry is used by refineries for the process of refining, and it's used as feedstock in a lot of food industries. So hydrogen that's produced is used mainly in those. But the other applications that we will be looking at, of course, is in the mobility sector and, of course, to store energy. That is the, I suppose, the golden key at the moment to the energy crisis is what do we do with energy we can't use?
Yes.
So we must store it. So that is basically... So
are you saying green hydrogen can be used to store the excess energy from renewables like solar and wind and be put back into the process and the network when it's needed?
Exactly. So there's so much development in it at the present moment in time. To be honest, with green hydrogen in particular, people say about the inefficiencies of it.
They say it costs too much money. The high production cost of it.
Is the biggest factor, right? But the problem is, to be perfectly honest, we have to put those aside. When energy is produced by renewables, now we talk about downtime, we talk about excess energy that's produced, it goes to waste. Once electricity is produced, unless it is used, it goes to waste, okay? So why don't we take that energy, put it into electrolyzers, and produce our green hydrogen? We store that green hydrogen, be it you know, there's different ways of storing it at the moment, right? To be put, the one that at the moment is most common, of course, is through compression into bulk tanks and ordinary tanks, right? Which you know, also is expensive because you require compressors to do that. What they're proposing at the moment with the Irish companies, for example, Decarbonex working with ESP, is the offshore subsurface storage in large or in engineered or natural caverns, or where we have depleted gas fields in those caverns as well. So there's one area. And of course, there's new advancements as well in relation to storage, which is a company I'm working with, in relation to metal storage as in the form of porous metal hydrides, which is a very new and advanced, but new in the sense of what the company have, but not new for the fact that hydrogen can be stored in that form.
Okay, if and this look from some and some commentators, some, I heard a Green Party minister yesterday speaking about this being the possible answer to eventually removing gas as a backup for our system. Mark, where is it in terms of our ability to do it, or what do the government need to do in terms of the infrastructure that would be needed? We have a lot of wind farms here in Kerry. We're hopefully going to have large offshore floating wind farms. So should we be developing something here, or what do the Irish government need to do to get ready to make this all a reality? And how long would that take, do you think?
The biggest problem at the present moment in time is the whole bureaucracy in setting things up. Okay, the government need an emergency response to this issue. We have a problem with energy storage, or we will have a problem with energy storage, despite what the government says in relation to gas, despite what they say whether we're not confined to Russia and whatnot. Indirectly, we are in relation to the fossil fuels that come into this country because they're processed in Germany. But what we need to do, the government needs to, is number one, is put an emergency legislation in place for the start-up of these. Number two, they need to lead the way in relation to putting projects, instead of talking about projects, instead about the feasibility studies, getting those projects fast-tracked and supported. The biggest problem in this country at the present moment in time, well, is the fact there's too much legislation.
Yeah.
We need to get these projects done. We have the companies in Ireland. The government need also to look at our Irish indigenous companies. We have the likes of all the wind farms that we have in Kerry that are up and running at the present moment in time. Be it onshore, we've only one at the moment off Arklow in relation to an offshore wind farm. And we have all of these that are waiting with all these different processes. You have, you know, foreshore licenses, you have all these research that has to be done. Now we have to look for planning permission. And before that can be done, you're talking 3 years down the line.
Yeah.
Fast track it.
Have to be fast tracked. And renewables companies are saying that as well about what needs to be done. Okay, Mark,
so you have to, like, for example, just very fast, just to fill you in, you have the likes of the companies in Cork. We have the likes of EIH2, the electrolyzers, for the companies here. We have the likes of Simply Blue for the wind farms offshore. We have the likes of Decarbonex and ESP working on it. Then we have the likes of Ron Motors. Now, I just want to mention this man. He has the hydrogen car that people wonder, is it out there, etc. He was one of the first pioneers, Ron Ford from Ron Motors. People should actually look that man up. He is a green hydrogen evangelist. And he brought out a car for a film called Looper in 2012, a sports hydrogen sports car. And it's out there, but we've not given the chance.
Okay.
So the government needs that to move legislation forward.
And give it more of a chance and fast track the regulations in order to allow it to happen. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And push it forward.
Okay, Mark,
the people
listen.
People of Kerry have serious opportunity. We have the ports, we have the trains, we have the airports. So we have, of course, Munster Technical University for our education.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing that needs to happen.
Okay.
People need to realise hydrogen is not dangerous.
Sure. Okay, listen, we're going to leave it there, Mark. Thanks a million for talking to us about that.
No
Very informative. It's Mark Hanley there of Emerald Green. If you have a view for us on what he had to say, Emerald Hydrogen, I should say, how it works and how it will help the energy crisis, give us your view.